Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Stephen Parks on why your congregation should join the Issues Etc. 300.
If I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues Etc. My own congregation is a very small church, and I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues Etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, I submit to bring it to the congregation to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues Etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. Simply go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc., the Issues Etc. 300.
Religious communities have a chance to play a really important role in protecting the earth and in protecting this gift that we've been given.
The Hebrew Bible reads like a farmer's almanac. It's all about how to live with the land.
The Quran tells us how we are so interrelated with the earth and the animals.
Pope John Paul II speaks of the ecological crisis that we're in is not only a crisis of ecology, but it's a crisis of the spirit.
Man has polluted the water, the air, and man has to pay because it's a sin against nature.
We really need to call forth our spiritual strength if we're going to fight this environmental struggle, because we're lost without it.
Well, that's an Earth Day video talking about the importance of spirituality and care and concern for the environment. Of course, on Earth Day, they want everyone involved. But how should Christians be involved in care and concern for our environment, for our planet, for the world around us, for your front yard or the field across the street from your house? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about Earth Day, Christianity, and the environment. We'll spend the first half hour with Dr. Cal Beisner talking about Earth Day, and then later in the show, we'll talk to Cal's sister, Gretchen Pasentino, about the Worldwide Church of God changing their name. They've changed their name to Grace Communion International. Is it more than just a name change? We'll find out with Gretchen a little later in the program. Dr. Cal Beisner is founder of the Cornwall Alliance for Stewardship of Creation and author of several books, including Where Garden Meets Wilderness, Evangelical Entry into the Environmental Debate. Cal, welcome back.
Todd, great to be back with you. Really appreciate it.
Should Christians be observing or participating in Earth Day?
I would recommend actually against it, not because I'm averse to taking good care of God's creation, but because fundamentally Earth Day has been the brainchild of secular and pagan New Age religious environmentalists, and much of it really is driven by a worldview and by an agenda that is contrary to Scripture, contrary to biblical understanding of human nature and human relationship with the earth. And therefore, I think it's not a good idea for Christians to be observing Earth Day. But quite different is the fact that it is a good idea for Christians to be carefully studying the Scriptures to see what they teach about creation, about man's role in creation, about our responsibility to God for how we steward this earth, and for us to be carefully studying the science and the economics and the ecology and even the politics of how best to apply creation stewardship principles and tactics. I think that's very good for us to do. But I myself would not particularly observe Earth Day.
How specifically is the popular environmental movement, as kind of typified by Earth Day observances, how specifically is it contrary to a scriptural view of this creation and our place as part of this creation?
Let me give you two examples. One, at a very basic, fundamental theological and anthropological level, and then the other one at the level of a particular crisis being touted nowadays. At the theological level, the foundational level, environmentalists have a tendency to view human beings fundamentally as consumers and polluters. And so they will speak of us as the population bomb, the population explosion, people pollution, a cancer on the face of the earth, the people plague. Those are the sorts of metaphors that get used for people. And that's because they think that all we do is use up resources and pollute the earth in trying to meet our needs. I think that's a fundamental mistake, and it's a mistake that we begin recognizing when we just simply study the scriptures carefully. In Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." If we've been paying attention to the first 25 verses of Genesis, what we see is that God is creative and productive. He's intelligent. And then what we learn through all the rest of Scripture after the fall is that God is also a redeemer. He sustains and he even redeems his creation, especially human beings who have fallen into sin. And so God is a creator and a restorer of his creation, and he calls us to be likewise. That's the fundamental biblical picture of human beings. Sin is real, and it corrupts our performance of that, but it doesn't destroy it, and the work of Christ in redemption, the work of God in giving the scriptures so that we understand the world and we can learn how to use it as he intends us to use it, those things enable us to create, to produce more than we consume in a lifetime, and actually to clean up and improve the environment. Man's mandate in Genesis 1:28 is to multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over it. That is, to go out from the Garden of Eden, into which he was first placed and told to cultivate and guard it, into the rest of the world and transform wilderness into garden. So that's the first, the fundamental issue. The second issue is on a more specific issue, a crisis claim going around today, and that is man-made catastrophic global warming is threatening to raise sea levels and destroy millions of people, possibly end human civilization as we know it. Now, not only is the science not solidly behind that sort of thinking, but we as Christians who believe that the Bible is God's Word can look at certain specific things that it says and say, these are not consistent with that. For example, Genesis 8:21 and 22, God says to himself, following the flood, that as long as heaven and earth endure, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, day and night, summer and winter will not cease. And he had just previously said, I will not again destroy the earth and all the life in it. Now, this was his promise to himself, and it indicates poetically that all the various cycles on which life depends for flourishing on the earth, God is going to sustain till heaven and earth themselves disappear. As long as they endure, these cycles will endure. And in Psalm 104, verses 5 through 9, we learn that God has set a boundary to the sea that it can't cross over. Biblically, this gives us strong reason to be skeptical of claims that tiny changes in the chemical makeup of the atmosphere are going to bring about devastating climate change so great that it will end human civilization as we know it. And that also tends to direct us to look for evidences that such claims are mistaken. And one evangelical climatologist who has done that is Roy Spencer, who said, you know, what if the models are all wrong, the computer models, in assuming that clouds are a positive feedback, that if it gets warmer at the surface of the earth, clouds respond in a way that makes it even warmer? All the computer models used by the UN IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, assume that clouds are a positive feedback. In reality, it turns out, after years of studying data collected by NASA satellites, turns out clouds are a negative feedback, i.e., they make the climate system robust and self-regulating rather than fragile and likely to be devastated by tiny changes.
I want to talk about that last point that you made there with only a few minutes, in fact, just about a minute and a half before we take our first break, Cal, and that is The whole premise seems to be that life on Earth and the Earth's environment, such as it is precariously
yes.
balanced at the edge of some cliff, and anything, perhaps us, perhaps something else, can just set it tumbling over the edge into the abyss, and then all is lost. And just as a general view of creation and God's care and God's providential care for his own creation would inform the Christian that that is not something we need to necessarily worry about. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. And that's actually another point at which, on a very fundamental level, at the worldview level, the Christian understanding differs significantly from the typical environmentalist understanding. Environmentalists see the Earth and all its systems as highly fragile because they're the result of chance processes. Christians see it as robust, self-regulating, self-correcting, because it's the result of intelligent design by the omniscient Creator, who, when he had finished making it all, proclaimed it all very good, and has also promised in his word over and over that he sustains and providentially governs it. So we have biblical ground for being alert to the various scientific evidences of robustness of this ecosystem, whereas people with a secular evolutionary worldview have a worldview basis for assuming that it's going to be terribly fragile.
Dr. Cal Breisner is our guest. He's founder of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. You can find a link to the Cornwall Alliance under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org. We're talking about Christianity and the environment on this Wednesday, the 22nd of April. Some observe as Earth Day. When we come back, well, while we can't destroy it or run ourselves or the rest of the world's life into extinction, we can trash the place. And I guarantee you, if you change the oil on your car out in the lawn and just let the oil drain into your yard, the grass isn't going to grow where you drain the oil, and probably not for many, many, many years will you get anything to grow there, except maybe a few weeds. So where is the balance between we're about to destroy the entire planet and therefore need to make wholesale changes in the way we think about ourselves and the world around us, and a stewardship of God's creation that first and foremost looks to God's promises as creator? We'll answer that question on the other side of the break. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit theclcc.org. Check us out. Get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar, too. Go to theclcc.org.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Cal Beisner is our guest, founder of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation on Earth Day, Wednesday, April the 22nd. We're talking with him about Christianity and the environment in about 10 minutes. By coincidence, Cal's sister, Gretchen Pasentino, is going to be joining us, co-founder of Answers in Action, based in Costa Mesa, California. The Worldwide Church of God, once solidly within the cult category, made the shift out of the cult category and now is making a shift in its name, renaming itself. What is it? Grace Communion International. We'll find out what that name change means with Gretchen Pasentino in just a few minutes. Dr. Beisner, you talk about three concepts that should inform the way that a Christian views himself as part of creation, as also as a steward, a divinely ordained steward of creation. And I think in simple terms, I think about the yard outside my front door. I want it to look nice, but I also don't want to poison myself or my neighbors by how I take care of it. And I certainly don't want to do something that would permanently damage my little plot of heaven there, my little piece of the earth that I've got. So let's begin with this concept of dominion.
The scriptures do tell us that we are to rule, we're to subdue and rule the earth, Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. They also tell us that as we transform its wilderness increasingly into garden, we are to cultivate and guard that garden. That's Genesis 2:15. That was applied initially, of course, to the Garden of Eden, from which we were expelled because of our sin. But the mandate for us to multiply, fill up the earth, subdue it, and rule over it continues, and that indicates that we're supposed to be aiming toward making more of the earth garden-like, which is not paving it all over with Walmart parking lots, is it? So what we want to aim to do is to try to enhance its beauty, its fruitfulness, the thriving of all the various kinds of life that God has made on it. And, you know, I want to go again. I want to try to drive to a fairly deep level, Todd. We could talk about recycling. We could talk about proper use of fertilizers on our yards and proper use of pesticides or herbicides and things like that. And, of course, we want to be very careful about how we use those. Properly used, they're safe. But, you know, there is something much more important than that. And that is, I believe the most important thing Christians can do to promote good earth stewardship is to spread the gospel. Because, frankly, people aren't going to consider themselves stewards answerable to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who created this world, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity. People aren't going to consider themselves stewards answerable to him unless they have come to know Jesus Christ, been transformed in their own hearts so that their hearts become soft, pliable gardens instead of hard stone. And, you know, historically, this bears out. Where did the rise out of poverty and all of the environmental degradations that are associated with poverty, the failure to handle wastes properly, failure to purify drinking water, and so on, where did that happen first, historically? It happened in the parts of the world that were the most Christianized. The Christian worldview, Christian ethics, a Christian understanding of the structure of God's creation underlies the development of science, the development of productive economies, and therefore drove the rise out of grinding poverty into prosperity. And why that's important for environmental stewardship is this, that a clean, healthful, beautiful environment is a costly good. Wealthy people can afford more of it than can poor people. This is why the greatest environmental disasters in the world are not in wealthy places, but in poor places. And as wealth rises, people are able to afford to allocate more and more of their resources to protecting the Earth and to cleaning up damage previously done. So we want to see areas grow wealthier, and first we need to see the gospel come into these areas, and then we need to teach people and help them to learn for themselves how to be more productive. So it's a long-term vision, but if we think only short-term, if we're always thinking about what little project can we do here, what little project can we do there, we're missing the big picture. And the big picture is the gospel of Jesus Christ transforms hearts, and because it transforms hearts, it transforms whole cultures, and because it transforms cultures, it can bring people to learn to obey all that God has commanded us in Scripture, as Jesus tells us to teach people as they're converted in the Great Commission in Matthew 28.
What is this concept of stewardship going along with dominion? What is stewardship?
Well, stewardship means that our dominion is not unbridled. It's not unlimited. We are ourselves under the dominion of God. We are answerable to Him for how we use His creation. And he gives us instructions in Scripture about the proper use of creation, about our relationships with our fellow human beings, about our relationships with animals and plants, that we are to use these in a manner that glorifies Him, that enhances their fruitfulness, their beauty, their usefulness to humankind. And God holds us accountable to do this. So stewardship simply stresses the fact that we answer to God.
So, as an example, man has not gone terribly awry by hybridizing corn and making the plant itself far more fruitful than it ever would have been without man's intervention?
Oh, far from having gone astray that way. I think it's a very good thing for us to have done. For example, the various different things that we've done to enhance crop productivity have made it so that the average acre farmed now in the United States yields more than 50 times what that acre yielded in the late 19th century. As a result, we not only can feed many times more people than we could back then, but we can feed them on the product of far fewer acres of farmland, which means that we leave more acres available for wildlife, wild crops, for just natural vegetation. We reduce our impact on biodiversity by enhancing the productivity of food crops, and we do that through genetic engineering of food crops. We do it through the proper use of fertilizers, pesticides, and herbicides. We do it through advanced farming techniques, plowing techniques that don't cause a lot of erosion. We do it all these different ways, and these are ways that we simultaneously serve human needs and the needs of the natural world around us.
Then finally, with only about a minute and a half, the preferred term that I think Christians are comfortable with rather than environmentalist is conservation. Is this a biblical concept, conservation?
Well, actually, I'm even more comfortable with the term stewardship, because conservation, which I think is much more biblical than environmentalism being a very recent term and loaded with difficulties both historically and even conceptually. It comes from a word meaning surroundings, and it hence lends itself pretty easily toward totalitarian thinking. After all, everything around us is surroundings, and so environmentalism is sort of everythingism. Conservationism is, I think, much better than that, and it's the basic view that we need to conserve resources. And yet even there, there's a problem, and that is that it views resources as a finite amount that's out there, rather than recognizing that resources are the consequence of the application of human intelligence and skill and energy to the world around us. And because human beings are made in God's image to be creative and productive as He is, the better we get at reflecting that image of God, the more resources we make. And historically, resources grow faster than human population, so that instead of running out of resources, we're actually seeing them become more and more abundant because of human creativity. We want to use wisely what God has put out there for us through our transforming it, transporting it, applying it, and so on. That doesn't necessarily mean never using it. It means using it well.
So mankind, in a nutshell, mankind is not a parasite or a blight on this otherwise pristine planet. About 30 seconds.
Yeah. The environmentalist view that calls us the population bomb or explosion or the people plague really sees us in a way that is quite contrary to Scripture. Scripture has a positive view of human beings, that we're made in God's image to be creative and productive as He is. As we share the gospel of Jesus Christ and people are delivered from the power of sin, they become increasingly so, and we can see the impact of humanity on the earth becoming increasingly positive rather than negative as the kingdom of Christ is spread through the preaching of His gospel and the teaching of obedience to all things that He has commanded.
Folks, you can purchase Dr. Cal Beisner's book, Where Garden Meets Wilderness, Evangelical Entry into the Environmental Debate, at issuesetc.org. Click on demand. When you use the Amazon.com link at our website, a percentage of your purchase will go to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. Dr. Cal Beisner is founder of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Todd, thank you very much. My pleasure.
When we come back, we're going to be talking with Cal's sister, Gretchen Pasentino, on a different subject. The Worldwide Church of God has gone from the category of cult to somewhat orthodox Christianity and now is changing its name. We'll find out what the name is and why the change. Can we recycle? Yes. Can we drive a hybrid? Yes. To save the earth? No. To serve our neighbor. We'll be right back.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Mars. Now, why is there so much interest? Answers with Ken Ham, co-author of the new Answers book. Well, in recent times, there have been a few spacecraft sent to explore Mars. But why so much interest? Well, it may surprise you. It's fascinating. One of the spacecraft was called the Beagle. Many people might not understand the significance of this, but this is the same name as the ship Charles Darwin sailed on when he was formulating his ideas about evolution. You see, because the majority of scientists reject the truth concerning creation, they're desperate to try to prove that Earth is not special, that life evolved elsewhere in the universe. And a main reason these various spacecraft are being sent to Mars is actually to try to find evidence that life could have or did evolve there. After all, evolutionary scientists believe if life evolved on Earth, it must have evolved somewhere else. And you know what else? Because they don't want to be accountable to a creator God, they're trying to justify living their life the way they want to. Even scientists will make foolish statements rather than accept God's word as true.
Is it possible that many scientists today are making foolish comments about global warming? That's one of the intriguing topics we cover in a new pocket guide on climate change. For some fascinating reading, call toll-free 24 hours a day at 1-888-89-ANSWERS and give this nonprofit ministry a donation of any size. That's 1-888-89-ANSWERS.
Christian apologist Gretchen Pasentino on the importance of Issues, Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues, Etc.